Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Beard, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to begin a new series of studies upon the superiorities of Christ as recorded in the Epistle of Paul, the Hebrews. And we're going to begin reading at chapter 1 and verse 1. And I do think that if the listener has his Bible near at hand, he will benefit materially by following along through the scriptures with us as we read about this wonderful person that is so magnified in the Hebrew epistle. Beginning at verse 1, we read that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now this chapter begins, and this book begins, in a very peculiar way. God, it begins with the word God. Now that the Genesis comes very close to it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But we're going to get a clearer picture of God in the book of Hebrews as manifest in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here are the facts of the case. God did not reveal himself fully in the Old Testament. They saw the types and the shadows. They saw the forthcoming and the things that were coming to them by way of prophecy. But he did not come as a grand explosion, so to speak, of the glory of God. It says, in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The margin has it, in many parts, and many ways. But here we read, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. He climaxes these statements by introducing Christ. And here is the antitype of all those Old Testament types. The Old Testament is full of the types of Christ. And now he appears on the scene in the scriptures and in the book of Hebrews particularly, showing just who he is. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son in the full blaze of the glory of God. For Christ represented the Godhead. All the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell in Christ. And we're going to see that wonderful glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in this epistle. Let's go on. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, pardon me, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, I just want to show you. We have seven superiorities in the first three verses of the book of Hebrews. Seven of those superiorities. Now, that is not all of them. Believe me, as we shall discover, as this series of studies continues. Now, look, if you will, please, the different characters that he's brought before us. He's brought before us as a Son, as a complete revelation of God manifest in human flesh. And then we see him as the heir of all things. Then we see him as the creator of the world, by whom also he made the worlds. In verse 3, we see him as the revealer, who being the brightness of his glory, Christ is the brightness of the glory of God, and the express image of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power, he's the sustainer. And when he had by himself, not our help at all, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. We see him here, first of all, as the Redeemer. He purged our sins, and then he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high as our great High Priest. Seven things about our Lord Jesus Christ, Son, Heir, Creator, Revealer, Sustainer, Redeemer, and high priest. This is just a sampling of what we're going to be considering in the book of Hebrews. Now let's think a little bit about the sonship of our Lord Jesus Christ. God in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. This is further developed. We see so much that is brought before us. It's just a problem to know where to start. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be the Son of God in his ministry. This was a great stumbling block to the Jewish people. They said, when you claim to be the Son of God, and we're going to read a scripture in that connection, you claim to be the Son of God, that makes yourself equal with God. And we don't believe that any man can become God. Well, in that sense, I think we're absolutely correct. But let's go on and consider it, if you please. I'm going to read it. I think we can gain much more by it from the scriptures than by my comments. The Lord Jesus says in verse 30 of John chapter 10, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these good works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, maketh thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? If ye call them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? He was the Son of God, incarnate in human flesh. Now, the Jews never got past that incarnation. Christ was so real. As a man, he was very man and very God. And he was so real as a man, so kind, so loving, and so absolutely captivating to the human spirit and soul that they just could not see beyond his manhood. And before the Jews on this occasion, when they accused him of becoming God or trying to be God, we don't believe that any man can become God. Well, they were correct in that. But this was not a matter of a man becoming God. This was a matter of God becoming man. If God wants to become a man, who's going to tell him he can't do it? He became a man in the incarnation. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was indeed given life by the Spirit of God. That which is in you is that which she conceived, that which was in her, and the Spirit of God placed it there. And Christ was indeed the Son of God. Now let's go on, if you please. We see his greatness here as the Son of God, the complete representative of the Godhead. Oh, how wonderful this portion of Scripture really is. Now let's continue on to the second thing that we read there in Hebrews chapter 1. And we see there that he is the heir. And it says that he is the heir of all things. Now he is the heir because he was the son of his father. And but death has to come in. There's a portion of Scripture that's very interesting in Hebrews chapter 9. And I want to read that with you about the heirship. We read in chapter 9 and verse, if you please, we'll get to it momentarily here, about this business of becoming an heir and what an heir really means. And we read there very plainly in verse 16, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Now, the testator here and the testament, of course, is the last will and testament. It's a man's will. It's his will revealed, and it does not become effective until after he dies. For where a testament is, there must also be the death of the testator, the one who gives it. Well, Christ gave it, and he was the heir. He died, and by reason of the fact of his death, he became the heir of all things, if you please. He comes into the good of his own death, and he becomes the heir of all things. You know, you and I are so selfish. We think of Christ as coming into this world for our soul benefit, to die on the cross for our sins, to take that terrible barrier away that would keep us out of heaven. And he died on the cross for you and for me. God help us to appreciate it even more. But please remember that he benefited more by his death than we, because we are his. We're part of his inheritance. And he benefits so much. He is the heir of all things by his death. Satan came into this world and he spoiled this universe. And we read in Job, the heavens are not clean in his sight. But let me tell you something. The death of Christ on the cross set aside all the worst efforts, or the best efforts, maybe I'd better put it that way, of Satan to overthrow Christ and to set his throne, indeed, as we read in Isaiah chapter 14, above the stars of God in his unholy ambition. He tried to become God, if you please. Now, he was a super angel, and he was a beautiful angel, but he was a creature, and he has lessons to learn. And at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the terrible effects of Satan overcome. But God lost the world, so to speak. And you misunderstand. You must take that as I mean it, not as perhaps under the wrong construction. God's hands were more or less tied, if I may use that, and I don't use it incorrectly, I don't think, until Christ came to die on the cross and to completely destroy the works of Satan by that death. And he won the battle, but he died, and then he rose again to prove that he was God. And he comes into the good of his own death. And we see Christ now, as he is explored in the New Testament, so greatly exalted, as we shall see in the broadcasts to come. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for the book of Hebrews and for Christ who died. And we would love to see him come into the good of his own death. And we just pray that he will very soon. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.